Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 8. What's tying you up? What is causing you problems these days? What's holding you into bondage? You know, we all struggle with things of life. I don't care what it is. There's a lot of things going on in our world today. You know, the sexual immorality in our world today has reached just pinnacles of almost Sodom and Gomorrah, where we're free to just what we want. You know, we talk about freedoms. We talk about our freedoms being taken away. We talk about freedoms being given and that we are free and everything's good and everything's acceptable. And we've so been deceived and so been confused by all the misgivings and the lies of this world. And a lot of that even comes from the churches today in the religion world that we live in, that the churches are confusing people. The Word of God doesn't confuse people. It sets them on a straight path to freedom, what true freedom really is. And you have to look at what's entangling you, what is holding you back, what is eating up all your energy every day, and see if it's really worth it compared to what God's Word says. And that's what we're going to kind of look at a little bit today. But we're going to begin in John, again, chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." Again, remember the ifs of God. He didn't say that once you got baptized and once you said you believed and once you had some type of religious, physical experience that you were his disciple. If you read this verse very carefully, it says, if you, what? Continue in my word. And that means that you have to define what that word is. The word became flesh. It dwelt among us. So you have to understand that Jesus Christ was the word of God coming in the flesh to warn humanity about the wrath of God to come. But also it had some good news to it. Is that God was going to do something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, and that was going to use his son as the payment for the sinful nature of man and pay that debt and to free men from this sin, from the master that's over us. And what we don't understand is that we're allowing the nature that we're born with and the sin that we commit to control our lives. And that's what controls us. Your greatest enemy is not the internet. Your greatest enemy is not that person that's causing you to act unbecoming according to God's righteousness. See, the biggest problem you have in this world is you. You're the problem. That's what's tripping you up. But see, we want to look at everything that's making us act the way we act and blame it, right? So when our kids grow up and they're doing all this stuff, we want to blame Facebook or Twitter or whatever they're TikToking now. I don't know all that stuff. I don't keep up with that stuff. But anyway, whatever you're doing now, we want to blame the demise of our society on these things. When the demise of society has always been the same thing. Even when God came to the point of destroying the whole world and only bringing eight through the flood and destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, it's always been the same problem, and that's the nature of man. The nature of man is what is holding you up. And these desires that you have and these things that you're doing are entangling you, and you're not enjoying the freedom that God gives you. And that's the sad thing about most people that say they claim they have a walk with God and they call themselves to be disciples, but they're not continuing in the Word. You don't retire from this. You don't just do this on Sunday. You just don't do this if you're real religious and come on Wednesday night or Sunday night. People, we have allowed people to go through the acts of trying to please God and saying that they're okay with God. And it's not. I mean, if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, then you continue in the Word in spite of your circumstances. Just because the world, just like they did in France, you know, and they're showing their freedom to elaborate sin and show the world how free they are and how love has no boundaries, well, I beg to differ. God shows that love does have boundaries. He gets to set the standards for love. And it's an agape love that takes into account no wrong. It's an agape love that allows us to love the individual, understanding that we see people the way that God sees them, and not to condemn them, but to hopefully pray that God will allow us to be the instrument that He uses to shed the light on them of what He thinks is right and what's wrong. God is the only one that gets to decide what's right and what's wrong. We don't in humanity. And people say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, I don't believe in that Bible. Well, that's okay. That's your prerogative. My responsibility as a child of God is not to convince you or to persuade you of any of this or even force you to live by the rules of God. Does God not give you a choice? So why does the church not give people a choice? Because the church is wanting to judge people. The churches are wanting to say, okay, this is what's wrong. Well, but then in their lives, what they're doing is not wrong. See, what we do is we weigh the sins, don't we? Now, sexual sins carry a greater consequences. There's sins against your body, and your bodies will suffer those consequences. Okay, the consequences that we do when it comes bringing sexual immorality into this world, that's why a lot of people are sick. That's why there's viruses and things like that that are going on. And God says in His Word they're reaping their due reward for their disobedience and to His Word. But that's true in the church as well. There's as much sexual immorality in the church. I mean, folks, we have to understand that this is where we're at in our world. And if you don't raise your children in regards to this, okay? Girls, dress modestly, okay? When you put the advertisement out there, you know what the world's going to do with it? Huh? Come on. I mean, you put the bait out there to catch a mouse, you're going to catch a mouse, all right? Huh? Let's not be stupid in this. Huh? I mean, if you have a tendency and you have a sexual morality problem or a tendency to be hooked on pornography or something like that, huh? Don't be putting yourself in a situation where that's available for you. And ask God to give you the strength to get out of it. It's not the fact that you do it. It's the fact that you're not doing anything about it. I'm not supposed to yell today, am I? That's right. My grandson asked me, why are you yelling? I said, why you yell at church for that, Pop? I said, I don't know. I said, God twisted my arm back in, it hurts, I guess. Because I have a passion for this. And I told him, when I speak loudly, it's not yelling at you, it's that I'm saying something important. I'm trying to wake the people up that are sleeping. Because they got to hear this. I care where you spend eternity. I really do. And I care where these kids, when they grow up, how they're going to face this world. And if you don't teach them right now how to do it, we can't keep burying our heads in the sand about sexual immorality, okay? It's here. And sexual freedom is here in our world. But it's not in the confines that God gave it. And if it's not in the confines by which God sets the standards, then it is sinful. And it carries deadly consequences. It carries eternal consequences. It's by our nature that we do these things. It's by our nature that we're pleased with these things. And it's only not until we're born again that this new nature comes in, and then we realize that these things are a problem. But when we follow in the Word of God and we stay in the Word of God and we read what God says about all these things that are entangling us, whether it be that you can't forgive somebody, whether it be that you have a problem lying or gossiping or stirring the pot, just can't take authority. You don't want to be told by anybody what you're supposed to do. You're slacking off at work. You see, all these religious people do those things, just like the lost world does. Our natures are no different. Just because we acknowledge God doesn't mean that we are His children. Just because we come and sing praises and songs and hymns to Him doesn't mean we're His children. Got to be born again. And that carries a devastating turn in your life, that you're no longer pleased and you're no longer having the enjoyment of those things in your life. And it's not that you're not there yet, but you got to hate that you're there. You got to hate that you're still entangled by that. He promised me to free me from it. And I'm not claiming the freedom. The freedom that Christ gives you is not a freedom to do what you want to do, but it's a freedom to be betrothed to a new master. That old sin master is dead. Just like when someone's married and their spouse dies, then they're free to be married to someone else. He uses that as a practical example to let us know that the sin in our life is dead. Our old self is gone away. And now we can be betrothed and we can be enslaved now to a new master. And that master is Jesus Christ in our lives, who gives the glory to God, and that we serve God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how this works. And the freedom that comes along with that. I don't have to accept the things of this world, and I don't have to accept the religious things of this world. Do not join the bandwagon in all this religious chaos in trying to defeat the homosexuality and the LGBT. We are not called to do that. We're called to be a light in the truth and to live our lives in a way that glorifies God, that God might grant them salvation instead of joining in and beating them up. I can beat us all up if you want to this morning inside this church. Okay, but we don't want to look at our sins, do we? We want to look at everybody else's and their sins worse than our sins, right? Huh. You've been deceived. Listen to what he goes on to say. But if you continue my word, then you're truly my disciples of mine. Jesus says, I'm your friend if you do what I say. God says, you say you love me, and you're a liar if you don't do what I say. I mean, that's in Scripture. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, when I realize what I am, then that can allow God to work in my life and through my life to free me from these things. But see, when I try to hide it and I try to use excuses of why I do what I do instead of accepting what I am. Until you accept what you are. Huh? In Sunday school we read it, there's no one good, no, not one. There's no one that seeks after God. So I don't care what your definition of good is, you are no good. In God's eyes, you are no good. Isaiah said, my righteousness is filthy rags before Him. See, we can't understand that. So we allow the church to define what's good and what's not good. The church doesn't get to decide what's good and not good. God does. It's just the church is not obeying God. The church is not obeying the ordinances of God. And that's why we have the mess that we're in today. And that's why we have the confusion today. Because there's no guidance anymore. There's no light to follow anymore. Because all those roads lead to devastation. Because we're not following the truths of God in our lives. He'll make you free. Huh? Wouldn't you like to be free? Wouldn't you like to not have to, where you could wear white any time of the year that you want to? Wouldn't that be fun? Huh? But we allow this world to tell us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it and how we're supposed to feel and how we're not supposed to feel instead of being free. I don't have to do anything. But I'm responsible to do everything that God tells me to do. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. Let's look at Galatians 5, 1 to 13. See, we focus so much on going to heaven and we focus so much on salvation that we forget the real reason why Jesus came. He didn't come to save you only. He came to save the nation of Israel. God is the one that decided to graft us Gentiles in. But listen, it was for freedom. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. See, when someone tells me I can't wear white after a certain time of year, they're yoking me to slavery. They're telling me and forcing me to do something that I don't really care. Okay? So it's the same thing when the church comes and tells you, oh, you have to wear dresses to church. You can't wear pants. What? 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 I'm glad you've got pants on myself. Okay? I mean, see, this is the stupidity of religion, and we can't see it. When we start putting yokes on people and say, oh, you got to do this now. Oh, you go to church, you got to do this now. You got to give this up. You got to give that up. You got to give this up. God said you don't have to give anything up. I'm going to free you from it all, and it's not going to be a problem. Because you can't give it up. When you think for one moment you can give it up, you've been deceived by Satan. This old flesh can only be put to death through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It says it in Scripture that through the Holy Spirit, you're putting the deeds of the flesh to death. And if you're not doing the Holy Spirit, if you're not born again, you can't put the deeds of the flesh to death. And this is why religion finds people and leaves them empty. Oh, now you're a child of God, you can't do this. You're a child of God, you can't do this. You're a child of God, you can't do this. Huh? I didn't join a church so they could tell me what to do. I've been born into the church, so God tells me what to do. And guess what? He doesn't have to tell me what to do because my nature now wants to please him, and now it becomes natural for me to want to seek out his righteousness because I've been born again. See, when you haven't been born again, you're still trying to use your human efforts to make this work. And you're going to fail. What's amazing is some people don't think they're failing. See, that's the deception of sin in our life. Is they think they're doing good and they pat themselves on their back and they look, oh, look here, look at all I'm doing for God. And then he says, damn, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. And then there's wailing and gnashing of teeth because, well, they thought they were going, their whole life they thought they were going, but they had no character of God in their life. There was no fruit of the Spirit. There was no freedom in their life. They enslaved themselves with religion. Was that not what the religious leaders were doing to the people? Okay, in this new church, what happened was that the fact that, okay, we'll accept this Jesus Christ, but guess what? Then they start taking in other members, and the other members said, you know, we'll believe this Jesus Christ, but you still got to be circumcised. Huh? So you got to be circumcised, or you can't be saved. Huh, that's legalism. Okay, what do you say about this? Don't do this, folks. Don't let people put you in a yoke of slavery. It should be your desire to learn. It should be your desire to come when the church is here. It should be desire to learn in Sunday school. It should be your desire to bring and prepare for worship. It should be now becoming your nature that this is something that's automatic in your life and you don't have to think about it. You definitely don't have to think about sinning. When opportunity comes up, boy, it just pops out. If you need to say a lie to get you out of something, boy, you just, here it comes. What? You don't have to think about it. Why? Because it's natural. Well, guess what? Why don't we be natural children of God? In which case, that then the Holy Spirit directs us and guides us, and we're free from all of that. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ is no benefit to you. Can you imagine the conflict that Paul received when he goes to the nation of Israel and tell them that your circumcision is no benefit to you? Just like me standing up here and saying, you got to be born again. That this baptism, that little prayer you said when you were a little kid, did you no good? Same conflict I get when I tell people that, because that baptism as a little kid, did you no good? It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that saves you. It's a circumcision of the flesh, of the heart, not just the flesh. This was just circumcision of the flesh, which then put them under the law. If you receive circumcision, then you are under the law. If you're under the law, you have to keep the law perfectly. No one can do that. Only Jesus Christ was the only one to keep the law perfectly. Because why? Because he had the nature of God. Because God was his Father. So that's why you have to be born again, to receive this nature that allows you then to start applying the principles of God in your life that puts the deeds of the death to flesh. To death. That was tough, wasn't it? I got a tongue twisted. But you got it. Okay, you can't do this. And I testify again to every man who receives a circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. If you've been severed, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. So if you're trying to do this on your own, if you're trying to do this with some religious experience, huh? Some religious experience that you have, okay? You're going to fall short. You've fallen from God's grace. This is about grace and mercy. You've been saved by faith through grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. It is a gift from God so that no one boasts. It's a gift. And this gift brings freedom in your life, and it's to free you from the bondage of sin so that you can live righteously. How many people are seeking righteousness of God? Not very many. So everybody's looking the way to go to heaven, but they're not seeking the righteousness of God. This does not say anywhere about seeking to go to heaven. It talks about Christ becoming sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. You've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word. Okay? Zach, I'm glad that some music meant something to you there, buddy. That's great. But I hope it's the time you spent in the word of God that made that music mean anything to you. Because I'm telling you what, so people are hooked on the message and hooked on K-Love that they think that's their relationship with God. The truth is only in the word of God, not in music. I got nothing wrong with music, but a lot of the music doesn't exemplify the truth of God. So you got to be careful. Got to be careful. Okay? Because it's only through the word of God that the truth is going to come. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. Can't come any other way. That's the only way it can come. And it's through that faith, working through love. You were running well. What happened to you, you Galatians? What happened? You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? See, it's not about believing the truth at all. It's about believing the truth to the point where you obey it. Are you obeying the truth of God, or have you decided in your life what part you'll obey and what part you won't obey? See, that's religion. Religion allows us to pick part of it that we like and throw the rest of it away. Huh? Truth says, no, you obey it all or none. Okay? It's all based upon the truth of God, or it doesn't mean anything to us at all. You can't pick it apart. Okay? You either have to accept all the truth, and then you have to obey it. It says you have to. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Well, somebody come along and said, you know what? I think God wants us to do this. I think God wants us to love everybody. I think God says, you know, we need to love everybody regardless and let them stay where they're at. See, that's where the problem came is. We are, partial truth is, we are to love everyone as God loves them. It's not that we have to change anything to come to God. It's that everything changes when we do come to Him. See, that's the hindrance that I'm talking about in today's world, is that now we're saying, oh, just stay as you are. Not only come as you are, but now stay as you are. You cannot stay as you are. When you are born again, you're a new creature. Read it in Scripture. It says the old things have passed away. Hold, all things are new. You're a new creature in Christ. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. That's what it says. This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. This lie in this world today that you're hearing is not coming from God. I don't care if it comes from the walls of the churches in America today, or from the Pope himself. I don't care that it comes from him. I care what comes from God and God's Word. And well, we've got Bibles now. You can't even find God's Word because you know what? They've changed the words so much. You don't need a translation of a living Bible. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you through the original Greek manuscript. Get you a New American Standard Bible, the oldest version you can find, if you can find it, because they're changing it. You get all these people reading these living Bibles, and they now that's why they can live any way they want. That's why it's a living Bible, right? I can live any way I want and have God do. Well, you can't live any way you want and have God. It's not there. Who did this? Well, when we stopped teaching our kids and we allowed Satan to destroy the family, and we allowed Satan to destroy our government, and we've allowed Satan to destroy our churches, because no one stands on the Word of God and says, thus saith the Lord. We're going to use situation ethics to determine what's right and what's wrong with God. We're not going to use the absolutes of God. We're going to use the situation theology. Okay? Depends. Huh? Depends. No, it doesn't depend on anything. Depends on what God's Word is, and that's what we ought to base our truth on. He goes, a little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. Boy, I hope you'll listen to what I just said. Okay? A little sin corrupts the whole nature. You know what leaven is? It's kind of a substance that puts gas in to raises up bread. Just a little bit of it will cause and change the nature of that bread. Just a little. Okay? And the whole bread is affected by it. Okay? You can't take part of this world in and say, well, I'm okay with that part. You can't take sin and say, okay, I'm comfortable with this part of sin. It affects us all. It affects the message. And the message is very simple, is that you were born by your nature, children of wrath. And you've been condemned by God. And there's not a thing you can do about it. But God did. And He's trying, when He was lifted up, to call us all to Himself. But we've become so callous in our liberty with sin. We think this freedom allows us to do anything we want to do and to our heart's desire. And we've brought so much of the world into the church, and there's very little of what the true church has gone out into the world. We don't have the true word out in the world anymore. We got a bunch of lies out there. Because no one's reading this. I mean, can you imagine going through your whole life and never reading the book of Hebrews or James or John? And there's people out there that are sitting in the pews this morning that have never read those books. and never glean the truth of God from those. How about that? How about that? And that, how can you do that? This is not the freedom that he's talking about. It can't be five after already, is it? I just got started. Nobody's hungry, are they? So y'all supposed to say, no, keep on going. Preach on, preacher. If I was in the Pentecostal church, they'd say, preach on, preacher, preach on, preacher. Baptist church, they say, be hungry. No. God will take his word and use it. I believe that, and I didn't get finished, but maybe we'll pick up here. I won't be here next Sunday, but Brian's going to fill in, and then hopefully the next time when I come back, unless God changes, maybe pick up here again. But I want to really talk about this freedom for a little bit, folks, because we so focus on the salvation of God that he not only washes us clean, but he frees us from the boundaries of this world and the dictations of this world, and we are under a new master, and it's him, and we have to read what he says is correct and what's not correct. So it's, and then that frees me from all this other worldly stuff. But the warning, folks, is don't put it out there. You're going to suffer the consequences. And if you don't understand this, and you don't begin to dress your children modestly, and don't dress them like the rest of the world so they fit in, let them, it's okay for them to not fit into this world. I would rather my children and my grandchildren not fit in this world and be in the kingdom of heaven than to be in the rest of the world in hell. And that's something you parents are going to have to look at and decide. How much of this world are you going to allow your children to accept? And if you yourself are not examples, they will never be examples. And that's what's happened in our world. That's what's happened in our churches, is we don't have parents that stand up anymore and be parents and teach them the word of God. You can't hide this world from them. You cannot hide this world from them. You better expose this world from them, because that's what God's word says. It says you better expose the deeds of darkness. You better do it to your children. Because the world's going to convince them that it's okay, and it's not.